This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by You Build It. There's a lot of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? Media bias.
The media has decided to blame President Trump for the shootings that happened in El Paso and in Dayton. And what I think is disturbing in all of this is that now we're starting to get some details. And we talked a little bit about it in the first hour. We're getting more details as to the shooter in Ohio. And according to his social media profile, again, this is not yet been confirmed by law enforcement, but a cursory look shows you that this guy identified as a Democrat. He was upset with the Trump election and his rhetoric. Now, do I blame Democrats for what the shooter did in Ohio? No, I don't. And I certainly don't blame the president for what the shooter did in Washington. We can still have the conversation about the role rhetoric plays in all of this. And I think it's an incredibly important conversation. But let's be clear, we're talking about people who most likely were mentally ill. We're talking about people who were most likely dealing with mental illness. Certainly the guy in Ohio. We're dealing with a racist, a white nationalist, a terrorist in the case of Texas. And yet, as Tucker Carlson pointed out on Fox News today, the vultures are out to blame Trump and Republicans. They can't have an honest conversation. They can't unite behind a common cause of trying to make sure this doesn't happen again. The left says they want that all the time. They don't really propose anything. They'll say these nebulous lines of, you should support reasonable gun control laws. They don't explain that their version of reasonable means literally taking away guns. They say if you don't support what they support, you're a bad person who doesn't give a damn about the individuals that lost their lives. Because that, of course, is a way to win over the other side. Jake Tapper, on his show on CNN yesterday, he was mad that Republicans he tried to book didn't want to come on a show.
We're going to talk with at least four presidential candidates today about what they would do to stop this epidemic of mass shootings and shootings. We should note that we invited the Republican governor, lieutenant governor, and both Republican U.S. senators representing Texas to join us this morning. They all declined. The Republican governor of Ohio also declined.
You do realize that they're kind of busy working on, you know, a reaction to what happened in their communities. Yeah, but continue.
We also asked the White House to provide someone to discuss these shootings. That request, too, was declined.
With what happened after Parkland, with that town hall where Marco Rubio and Dana Loesch were set up to be scapegoats, to be specifically called out as responsible for the shooting at Stoneman Douglas, why in the world would Jake Tapper feel like it would be an easy get for a Republican guest? All they've done on CNN over the course of the last 2 days is blame Republicans. You get a panel of 14,000 people, one of which is a Republican, not a particularly strong one in many cases. They go ahead and then book all these other Democratic voices around them, and they just jump on the Republican guests. And then the so-called journalist in all of it, in this case, Poppy Harlow, she decides to present opinion as fact. She had on a whole bunch of people yesterday, including Nia Malika Henderson, who is a political analyst, a Democrat, and David Urban, a conservative pundit. Here they are trying to blame the president for the shooting.
We have a president now where you have a manifesto where someone's calling out the president about his own speech about Latinos. I mean, that certainly is something that has changed, too. If that's something you want to talk about, David, do you see that as something that has changed as well?
Yeah, but the shooter says in the manifesto, why don't you take it with his own words? He said the president had nothing to do with this. The shooter
says that he's also acknowledging that the president's rhetoric is similar to his.
Let her finish. Let's just address something real quickly, because, again, I generally agree that rhetoric is a huge problem in this country. I don't want to be told by a progressive about rhetoric when they say there's no problem whatsoever with calling all of their political opponents Nazis or white nationalists. I don't want to hear from a progressive talking about rhetoric when you're literally fantasizing in artwork about the murder of Donald Trump, whether we're talking about a Snoop Dogg video or a play in New York or the Kathy Griffin detached head, bloodied head photo that got her in so much trouble. Don't talk to me about rhetoric leading to violence when you've got a Bernie Sanders supporter gunning down Steve Scalise. We can have a conversation about rhetoric, but it has to be an honest one. It has to be a good faith one. Otherwise, you're showing how hypocritical you are. And you're proving that this has nothing to do with the victims in all of this. The victims that a lot of these people seem to forget when they go after the president or Republicans in general. Because really, oh, my bad, that's really all that this is about. It's going after Trump and the Republicans in general.
It's also what he's doing. He's not completely dogging him. He's saying, don't point to the president who has a similar rhetoric as the shooter does.
Yeah. I would just say, I want to bring in Congressman Gutierrez, but David Urban, I would say Nia does make a point. Well, one thing that has changed, a lot has changed. One thing that has changed is that the highest office in the land has seemed to make it okay to call people from other countries invaders and has said that congresswomen should leave this country. Okay, minority congresswomen. I'm not going to fight with you about this because I want all the voices in. I'm just stating a fact that that's one thing. You asked what has changed. That's one thing that has changed. You'll have a chance to talk again.
But Poppy, unfair jump to make advocating violence.
No, it is not because I said so. Now, let's also be clear that the response coming from some conservatives has been vile, specifically a lawmaker in Ohio. She's a bad person. She's a state representative. Her name is Candace Keller. She lives in Middletown, which is about 25 miles southwest of Dayton. She wrote in a now-deleted post on Facebook, and she got called out for this, that, quote, after every mass shooting, the liberals start the blame game. Why not place the blame where it belongs? And then she lists a whole bunch of things that she's blaming these two mass shootings, and it seems like mass shootings in general on this. The breakdown of the traditional American family. Thank you, transgender, homosexual, marriage, and drag queen advocates. That has nothing to do with mass shootings. I get that this bigot, and yes, she is a bigot. In this context, she comes off as a bigot. I get that maybe she doesn't like gay marriage. I get it that she doesn't like or understand drag queens. I get that she doesn't like or understand transgender community. You can have those opinions, I suppose. I'll debate them with you. I'll happily debate you. I'll even presume that you don't have any nefarious intent with that. But then when you start to bring this up in relationship to mass shootings and try to pretend that that's what this is going, that's why this is happening. No, not going down that road with you because it's based in your bigotry. Now, she makes some points that I think are valid to discuss. She talks about fatherlessness. She says a subject no one discusses or believes is relevant. I think the breakdown of the family is absolutely important. I think we should be having that conversation in a general sense as it relates to violence. I don't know if it played a role specifically here. I don't know about the family breakdown of the two shooters. But she decides not to lead with that. She leads with the breakdown of traditional families thanks to transgender, gay marriage, drag queen advocates. She goes on to say that a problem is the ignoring of violent video games. I get that some people think that. It's not backed up by science. It's not. Violent video games does not lead to mass shooters. That is a ridiculous position that a lot of people put out there because maybe they don't like the glorification of violence. And in their head, they say, okay, this glorifies violence. Surely that means more people are committing acts of terror. I'm sorry, but the video game industry has exploded all across the globe, including in countries that don't have a whole bunch of mass shooting instances. Why is that the case? Why is it that we don't have way more? What's the number one selling game? Fortnite? What other big games have there been? Grand Theft Auto, where you literally kill people. That's the goal, is to kill people. That's literally the goal. That's how you play that game. I've played it. You know what I've never done? Killed someone or thought about it. This whole idea that video games automatically just turns a kid otherwise normal would turn him or her into a killer. There's no data to back that up. The same has to do with Hollywood movies. There's no data to back that up. She then goes on to say another reason this happens, the relaxing laws against criminals, open borders, and the acceptance of recreational marijuana. Yeah, you know what happens after you smoke weed? You get really pumped up to go ahead and kill people. It's funny because I'm told, again, by a lot of these moral crusaders that the reason why they're against weed is because it sort of kills the personality, it dulls the senses, it makes you lethargic and lazy. except when it comes to mass shootings? This is the kind of stuff, folks, that we as conservatives have to call out. It's not based in reality. It's based in bigotry. In some cases, it's based in prejudice. It's based in bad science and a bad hot take. And we all look worse if we don't call some of this nonsense out, because we quickly and happily and proudly call out the left when they pull their nonsense, as they do on a regular basis against this president, against this Republican Party. We also have to go against our own when they come out with this kind of hateful stuff. There's a reason why she deleted this Facebook rant. There's a reason. It's because it's bigoted. 1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation. 1-800-465-877. It's the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. So we got a text from the 425. Just quickly, I want to read before we move on. It says, is it just possible you're reading too much into her statement? And perhaps you just meant that the culture does not call mentally ill behavior mentally ill and instead wants to accommodate it as normal. Has some responsibility when mentally ill people do mentally ill things. If that's what she said, I wouldn't have a problem. But the fact of the matter is, someone who has no father is not mentally ill. Someone who's gay is not mentally ill. Someone who smokes weed is not mentally ill. Someone who plays video games is not mentally ill. So no, I mean, I think that interpretation is you reading, and with all due respect, because this is a texter who texts in a lot, and I appreciate the hell out of it, I think you're giving her cover, trying to jump through hoops to allow for what she said to pass without condemnation. And again, I don't think that's right. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
I've never, and I mean this literally, I've never been more enamored, let's just say, with content on YouTube than I was over the weekend, between being called a Nazi and a white nationalist for speaking out against Antifa violence, which I guess is a controversial position in Seattle. I spent so much time watching video from the Democratic Socialists of America convention in Atlanta. I had no idea that they had these conventions. I guess they happen every single year. That's my presumption. I'm surprised that they streamed the entire thing. There were hours and hours and hours, sometimes of them just going through the rules that they would follow when discussing and debating their platform, that I was glued to. Do you know how some people have like white noise in the background when they go to bed, or maybe they leave the radio on when they go to bed just to help them sort of calm their nerves?
Sounds of the rainforest.
I did that last night with a 6-hour clip from the DSA.
That's weird.
I totally acknowledge it's weird, but not nearly as weird as what they did there in Atlanta. Oh my God.
If we want to defeat capitalism, we are going to need a party that will organize working people to fight for the demands that we want and to win socialism. Thank you so much.
Great. Right, quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
By the way, they're clearly using Robert's Rules of Order, which is what we use when we were in like council, like a student government council. And it's just funny that these are quote unquote adults.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys, first of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
I just want
to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know it's, we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
But in that ludicrous warning of his, because apparently I love the sensory overload. There's been this movement not to clap because it's sensory overload for too many people. Those people don't actually exist. These are people who just like the attention and want to pretend that they're a victim of some kind. Did you notice the word that he used at the beginning of his statement? Did you hear it?
The point of personal privilege?
No. After that, he addressed everybody with a word.
Comrade?
No. Come on.
I don't remember.
Come on. Hold on.
No, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum?
Thank you so much.
Here it is. Sorry.
Quick point of privilege. Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Guys.
Ooh. No. Get him out of there.
Okay. Is there a speaker against name
point
chapter
of personal
pronouns?
Privilege. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay.
point, almost to the point of tears, that individual.
Point of personal privilege, please. Tom, him, producer. I am prone to Jason Rant's overload, and I am extremely sensitive to him picking on me all the time, and I would just appreciate it. It's very triggering, and I would like it to stop.
Well, maybe you shouldn't be such a wimp. He, him, her, Z.
Wimp is offensive, and I'm sorry.
They went about their business. That guy got back up and complained yet again.
Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA.
He, him.
I have already asked people to be mindful of...
By the way, just real quick. How many times do you have to say your personal pronoun? Is that... I thought you're supposed to do it once, and then that's it. Is it that you're supposed to do that every single time you speak? So, and especially in this case, I don't quite understand the reason to say your personal preferred pronoun. I don't get that in this context. He's just standing up and making another announcement. They're not addressing him in any way.
But if they do, they can say that he, him over there says that we should stop talking.
You got to pick one. You don't do both.
Oh, that his over
he,
there.
No, he.
That him, his, that him over there.
You just he or him. It can't be his. Can't not allowed to use that.
The person over there.
But that's, again, that's who we're a global and really a universal being. So let's not pretend we know his species. Or he. Oh, damn it. I screwed
that
it up.
Organism over there.
You don't know he's living? Oh, did I say he? No, but I can say he.
I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload. And that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your
okay.
need to express yourself is
so
important,
angry.
But your need to express yourself should not trump or over, like...
he said Trump, and he did not mean to say that because that triggered a whole bunch of people.
He used the C-word.
He sounds so angry. And I suppose, to be fair, he does sound anxious. Is it the only time we hear about the triggering of my anxiety due to sensory overload is coming from people who show up to events like this? Are they attracting them? Because we never hear any of this, right? In meetings that we have in this building, in school assemblies in high school, to going to, you know, games at a college level, we never hear any of these complaints. Are they out there and they just keep it to themselves and now do they only feel a safe space enough to do that?
That's gotta be it.
There's a lot of these people who show up to these events.
Yeah, and it's weird because most people will go ahead and make fun of them.
Which, we wouldn't.
No, we would never.
Well, I wouldn't. You might. I'm a good person.
Tom, producer, he, him, I would never make fun of them.
This comrade wants to create independent party.
Hi, everyone. My name's Sam Lewis.
Hey, Sam.
He, him. I'm from the New York City DSA chapter. This very simple amendment is to strike the language about forming an independent party. I want, in conversation with the authors of the proposal since, I think we're all in agreement that we do want to build a mass organization, political organization of the working class. That
okay, and by the way, this is where I have no idea what he's about to say.
That vies for state power, so it's not an attempt to get rid of that shared goal. Okay. The problem with the language as I see it is that it counterposes forming an independent working class party with the tactical use of the Democratic line. So it's basically saying in the future we will break with our tactical use of the Democratic line.
Okay.
I think many of us have an agnostic position on that question.
I know what
right?
That
we want to behave in the most strategic way as class politics in this country develops.
Yeah.
We don't want to commit to what has historically been a failed strategy in the United States of forming a third-party ballot line.
Okay, that's
so I consider this a friendly debate. I will be voting for the proposal whether or not this this passes, but I think it's important to discuss. Thank you.
What are they discussing?
Now, his pace of speech, that is triggering.
What is he? I didn't even know what he's discussing. Because I thought he was in favor of an independent party, but it sounded like he wasn't because of the counter-imposing or whatever he said.
I lost him. And when I was doing the caption for that clip, I didn't really
God
know.
Bless them. There are hours and hours of this. Hours just spent on going over the rules. It is the best video I've ever seen. 1-800-465-8770. Send me your text message on the None Better Tax Resolution Hotline. Welcome back to the Jason Rancho on AM 770 KTTH and 94.5 FM on the Greater East Side. It's time for a common sense governor in Washington. So says my next guest, Republican State Senator Phil Fortunato. He announced that he's running for governor. The announcement officially is going to be on Wednesday, presumably, I guess, against Jay Inslee or maybe even Bob Ferguson. But before that official announcement, the senator joins me now. Senator Fortunato, thank you so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me.
So you've been toying with this idea for a while. You said, hey, you would decide to run if people asked you and demanded it, and it would appear they did so.
Oh, yeah, we've got a very good response across the entire state. So, this is the year, and this year is different. When I say this year, I mean this election cycle, 2020. This is different only because of the Seattle's dying situation. People in Seattle, which is the key to winning a statewide race, are basically fed up.
Mm-hmm.
They're fed up with needles in the parks. They're fed up with criminal homeless on the street. All of these things are the result of Democratic leadership. And when we look at the expenditures that the state has and things like that, I'm on the housing committee, for example, we will be spending $175 million in the housing trust fund and countless other millions of dollars locally on, quote, affordable housing, none of which is going to address the issue of homelessness in Seattle. So we need to get serious about this. There's a couple of different groups of homeless. One, mm-hmm. It's criminal homeless.
Yeah.
These people are criminals. They are attacking citizens. They are attacking children. They need to be removed from the street. Now, in addition to that, a lot of that has to do with drug and alcohol addiction. We need to get them off the street. We need to provide that counseling and treatment. Then we have other people that are simply homeless because of bad luck. We need to provide some transitional housing to let these people get back on their feet. And so far, none of the Democrats' approach has come anywhere near solving that particular problem.
So is it,
we have a needle exchange.
Just real quick.
They gave away 6 or 7 million needles, and they got 1 million back.
Yeah, I mean, it's not been ideal. But I guess a question I have for you is, do you view this as something that a governor should take on behalf or in lieu of a local city government that's not getting it done? Or is it your position that there's just so much anger and disgust with what's going on that they're more likely to vote for you? You know what I mean? Like, in Seattle, for example, you know, you have a Seattle city attorney, Pete Holmes, who will not charge these people, who will not prosecute. You have in King County prosecutor Dan Satterberg, who will not charge these people. Can the governor actually do something?
Well, I am going to make the statement that the people of Seattle this year at the city council races have a decision to make. There are people that are running for city council that are more law and order oriented. Mm-hmm. The people of Seattle need to make the decision whether they want to elect those people and oust the current leadership or not. Now, the state government can provide those services. We can provide that housing money. We can provide the treatment money. And we can provide the incarceration that these people need. However, as you point out, it is the city's job to actually take advantage of things that the state could offer. I am saying to the people of Seattle, if I am elected governor, I will provide those things. The people of Seattle need to get a city council that's willing to take advantage of the things that the state government can provide.
If you're just joining me, we're talking with Phil Fortunato, state senator, who is running for governor. He's going to make the announcement on Wednesday. The website, by the way, philforgov.org. It's all spelled out, philforgov.org. Let's talk about something else, because obviously there are, especially when we're talking about a statewide race, other issues beyond homelessness. Democrats in Olympia, they seem poised to move down this pay-by-the-mile system to fund transportation projects. I think most people seem to indicate, including on the right, that you can't solely rely on a gas tax that's starting to dwindle. But you say there's another way to fund these projects.
Well, the problem that I have is, you know, I wasn't in the legislature in 2015 when they voted for the 11.9-cent gas tax. They told us, if you vote for this 11.9-cent gas tax, it will bring all this economic benefit to the state, billions of dollars in economic benefit. And my statement is, if that's true, why do you need to raise my taxes? When the Secretary of Transportation came in and made the pitch for transportation funding, everything he referenced was inflation. It wasn't usage. Gas tax and mileage tax are usage taxes. But there's no connection with inflation, which is what is driving the cost of construction and the cost of right-of-way purchase. So we need to have an inflation-linked funding source, and that is the sales tax from the sale of motor vehicles. If you take the existing sales tax that you are currently paying for motor vehicles and you put that into the gas tax account, you now have an inflation-linked funding source that is going to increase every year without raising taxes. Cars are going to cost more money. People are going to buy more fuel-efficient cars. They're going to buy electric cars. So now you have a revenue stream that, when you put this on a graph, the cost of construction right away is going up at a 30-degree angle. When you put this money on a graph, guess what happens? It goes up at a 30-degree angle. So now you have something that you don't have to keep racing like the gas tax every other week. But the other issue that I want to talk about is the unsustainable budgets that the Democrats are putting forth. This budget, 54 point whatever billion dollars it was, is ridiculous. I mean, it should have been somewhere in the vicinity of $48 billion or something like that if you were to factor in inflation and growth. And they spent $6 billion more money. They are basically setting us up for an unsustainable budget crisis because next year they're going to want to spend $58 billion. Yeah. And when that money stops, guess what's going to happen? The only way to fill that gap for all the things that we promised is an income tax.
Yeah, it seems clear they're going down that route of an income tax. But to a similar point that I made earlier, I mean, you know, a lot of this is, you know, I don't think you're going to get any pushback from listeners until we realize a lot of this seems contingent on control in either the House or the Senate, because if the Democrats hold both, I suppose you can veto, hoping you have, you know, the ability to not get it overturned. But that's not going to be easy.
Well, but remember, that veto power is pretty darn strong. You're sitting there as the governor, and you could simply make the statement, I will not sign anything that comes through that does this. Mm-hmm. If you want to get your agenda through, you need to give me what I want budget-wise and this and that and all that stuff. So unless they have a veto-proof majority in the House or and the Senate, that veto power is very, very strong. So here is my agenda as governor. If you want what you want, you need to be pushing my agenda through, my budget through. I want to roll the budget back, not increase it.
The website is philforgov.org. Go there now to learn more about State Senator Phil Fortunato's run for governor. Obviously, you're going to be running against other Republicans. Republic Police Chief Lauren Culp has already announced. There's been some grumblings that State Representative Drew Stokesbury is going to announce, or people are pushing him to. How confident are you that this entire process, from the Republican standpoint, will be open and not scar everybody as they try to run against Governor Jay Inslee?
Well, in order for people, if they support my candidacy, first of all, we all know that the rank or the mainstream Republicans are not excited about me running. Second, it's an off-year election for me. If I lose, I'm still a senator. Now, Drew's a great guy, but basically I got 2,500 more votes or 3,000 more votes than him in our own district. But he's a great guy. He's very knowledgeable on the budget. But if he loses, he's out of the House. So It's a safe race for me. So that's a particular advantage that we're not jeopardizing Senate majorities or anything like that in order to run. But if people support my positions, I need them to go to phil4gov.org and consider giving me a donation. I need to raise $30,000 in the first week of the announcement. So if they want somebody with common sense to roll this stuff back, I need to get their support. If you live in downtown Seattle, I'm trying to get 1,000 people in downtown Seattle to send me at least $25. And I am such a magnanimous guy that if they mailed me a check for $2,000, I would not send it back. That's what a great guy I am.
Oh, you are selfless, I think that's what they say, and which is a rare quality in politicians. We've been talking with State Senator Phil Fortunato. Again, the name of the website, phil4gov.org, phil4gov.org. Senator, thank you so much for stopping by. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for the time you've given me, and God bless America.
God bless America, indeed. Welcome back to the Jason Rand Show, live in the Online Trading Academy studio. Really do appreciate you tuning in, and for some of you who follow me on Twitter, for you stepping in and stepping up, as over the course of the last 2 days, I was called a Nazi and a white supremacist and a racist by lunatics on Twitter, all because I had the audacity to come out strongly against Antifa violence. I do not believe you should physically attack people when you disagree with them politically. Now, I know that is a crazy position in Seattle to take, apparently. But that's my position. I don't support Antifa beating people up under the guise of attacking Nazis when they think all Republicans are Nazis. I don't support any conservative group out there trying to provoke a fight. I think it's disturbing. I don't think we should turn to violence. Again, that might be controversial to some Sounders fans, but something tells me that is a position of most normal human beings. There's something that's going on right now. It's a strategy. It's not just in Seattle. It's all across the country. There is a group of people beyond just Antifa, but their supporters, who want to position themselves as heroes. They've created this delusion in which they are fighting, actively fighting Nazis on the streets of Seattle or Portland or Los Angeles or New York City. And if you're not with them, you must be a racist and a fascist and a Nazi. I don't subscribe to being an anti-fascist in any traditional way, not the way that these folks mean it, because they don't know the definition of fascism. To these activists in Seattle, they believe fascism can be applied to all Republicans for holding traditionally conservative principles, values. They believe you're a fascist, for example, if you support the cops. They believe you're a fascist, for example, if you support literally any of the amendments, any of our rights, any enforcement of law. They believe you to be a fascist, and so they want to call you out a Nazi because then it can justify the violence that they support. Some of them participating directly in it. Last week, we talked about the controversy with the Sounders front office and a group called the Emerald City Supporters, ECS. They wanted to bring an Iron Front flag again to a Sounders game. Iron Front is a symbol that has been co-opted by dangerous, violent Antifa thugs who attack people simply for holding a different opinion than theirs. Sounders said, no, you can't do that anymore. ECS member said, oh, yeah. So they decided to wear shirts with the Iron Front symbol. Operation Cold Front, a YouTube channel with members tied, I'm told, to the Proud Boys. They showed up yesterday and they were trying to provoke arguments that they can catch on tape and then post on YouTube. I don't like that kind of stuff. But they were met with a bunch of people who called them Nazis. I also don't like labeling people Nazis unless, you know, they're actual Nazis. Now, maybe it's because I'm a Jew who understands my Jewish history. I don't like it that my people's history gets perverted and exploited to justify violence against people whose opinions they disagree with. Call me crazy. So they showed up to provoke these not Nazis these conservative provocateurs, and they did provoke. One ECS member, it would appear, or a Sounders fan, it would appear, threw the first punch, and then the Operation Cold Front or Proud Boy member fought back. That was it. Beyond that, despite what some of these fans will tell you on Twitter, they were not fighting Nazis. I am not kidding when I tell you there are members of the Emerald City supporters group, or just general Sounders fan, going online claiming there were Nazis roaming Pioneer Square, and oh my gosh, it was so dangerous. That did not happen. These people need some meaning in their life. They want to be something more than just an accountant, or just a marketer, or just a mom, or just a dad, or just a soccer fan. They need something more. They need something more that they can talk about on Twitter about how heroic they are. They need more to virtue signal on their Facebook pages. So they've created this reality in which they think they're fighting Nazis. This is dangerous because what do we all want to do to Nazis? I know, again, as a Jew, I want to beat the ever-loving crap out of a Nazi. I want them dead. I don't like Nazis because of what they stand for and what they did to Jews and gypsies and gays and the disabled. Someone tells me they're a Nazi, I don't think of them anymore as a human being. I think of them as a degenerate scumbag unworthy of life, if I'm being totally upfront and honest. When you call someone a Nazi and you pretend that they're a Nazi simply because they might just be conservative, you're basically setting up a system in which it's okay to physically attack them or even to kill them. When we talk about rhetoric and what rhetoric is inspiring, dehumanizing people with whom you disagree with politically and labeling them a Nazi clearly pushes the intent to do that person harm. I was called a Nazi all weekend as a gay Jew. I would love to fight Nazis if they were out there. I will be the first one to join you in that. Because as the gay Jew, they're coming after me before they go after the privileged white dude that can afford Sounder season tickets and a whole bunch of jerseys. But until that moment, stop using my people's history and stop having the audacity to call me a Nazi. If you want to read more about this story because we didn't have enough time, text the keyword RANTS to 1-800-465-8770.